Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for a moment. I know there is one announcement coming up, so I'll ask Bette to come forward. And while she's coming forward, I would just like to say welcome. I noticed a couple of new visitors today, so everything that you'll need for the service will be on the screens in front of you. If you're looking for the music of the hymns, those are in the blue hymn book in the chair in front of you, and the hymn number is right on the top of the first slide if you want to sing along with the music. It's a beautiful day today. It is an absolutely glorious and stunning day. I have taken photos of that beautiful red maple tree in the backyard and sent it to my friends in Saskatchewan. They haven't blocked me yet, but they very well might soon. So, Bette, your announcement for today.
Thank you. I'm just reminding you that today is the last day to order your Christmas wreath. They're beautiful. We've ordered them before. We have three sizes. Come and see us. We're actually going to be in the Stirling Vestry this morning because the Great Hall's just a little too cold. We've also got, of course, the gift cards. So get your Christmas gifts right from us. Judy and I and Elaine will be glad to help you. Thank you.
Speaking of it being a little bit colder in the Great Hall, we're having some boiler issues. The boiler is fine, but the valve that was replaced last year needs to be replaced again. I guess they don't make things like they used to. So we're working on that. It should be shipped out and should be here this week, but if wishes were fishes. So with that, we won't be having a coffee after service today, but feel free to stay around in the church and mingle and say hi to each other. I'll be around to have conversations after the service. Thank you. Please stand and let us begin our service of worship together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known. Let us pray. Eternal God, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given to us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of God's Holy Scripture.
A reading from the first book of Thessalonians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even though through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with those words. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will sing of thy deeds and the power of God. We will sing of the deeds and the power of God. That which we have heard and known, and what our ancestors have told us, we will not hide from their children. We will recount to generations to come the praiseworthy deeds and the power of God and the wonderful works God has done. decrees to Jacob and established a law for Israel, with which commanded them to teach their children. We will sing of the deeds and the power of God. That the generations to come might know, and the children yet unborn, that they in their turn might tell it to their children, so that they might put their trust in God, and not forget the deeds of God, but keep the commandments. We will sing of the deeds and the power of God.
Alleluia. Wondrous things. Let all the people God's praises now sing. All of creation in splendor shouting. Alleluia.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I'll let you in on a little secret, and that is that every 3 years in the church, we have the same readings. We have year A, year B, and year C, and today we're coming to near the end of year A. And so I've preached on this text before, and every time I've preached on this parable of Jesus with the 5 wise and the 5 foolish bridesmaids, I've usually taken the same approach. And I've tried to encourage people to recognize that faith is an important part of life. Yes, many people can make do without it, who have better things to do on a Sunday morning than come into a place with a whole bunch of people that don't share our political views sometimes, that are weirder than us or cooler than us or all of that. People can get by in life just fine these days without church. But, and this is where I say the wisdom comes in, There is a value in recognizing that we can sit next to people who might not share our opinions, and we are told constantly that they are created in the image of God. And that is a beautiful and wonderful thing. But today, in St. James, I heard this story in a new way for the first time in a long time of preaching. Whenever Jesus was talking about what the kingdom of God was, he always said in his parables, the kingdom of God is like a widow who lost a coin and looked for it, and when she found it, she was very happy. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. This parable is a little bit different. In this parable, Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be like. And I was thinking about that. Why the difference? As I was coming in the back doors of the church today, I saw the sign on the back that said, St. James is a parish that is committed to musical excellence with strong children's programming. And it occurred to me that maybe this parable is not as much about us as we would like it to be, but maybe it's about the generations yet to come. In the psalm today, we don't normally preach about the psalm, but the psalm today was filled with images and conversations about passing on faith to the next generation. Now, I've been part of churches that have tried to do this in various ways, and it always seems like parents or grandparents want to, in some way, give the grandchild or the child the faith that they have. And often I hear the lament, it just doesn't work. I can't give them faith. And I'd agree, you can't give someone faith. Faith can only be recognized and seen by ourselves. In the evangelical world, it's called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the Anglicans, we tend to stay away from language like that for some reason. But it's true. If we think about it, each and every one of us at some point woke up and made the choice to come to church this morning. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Each and every one of us made a choice to explore what this faith thing means. And if we're lucky, and if God's hand is somewhere in it, we find ourselves in a place where we can be shared the truth with, where we can be reflected with and held up and encouraged in whatever state of our faith life we are, at the very beginning, the very end, you name it. Our first reading today was the concern of the Christian church in the early centuries about what happens to those who had the Christian faith and have died. And the promise is that we are part of a long chain, a chain that goes on and on and on. And so, going back to the gospel reading, what if we aren't the bridesmaids? What if that's not who we are in this story? What if we are the oil merchants? And it's our job to provide the environment, the support to tell the stories to the generations yet to come. I think there's something incredibly valuable in that, and I know it's a value that St. James has. Our next generation are those who are coming after us. They're those who will carry this faith into a world that we can't possibly imagine. But why would they, if it doesn't mean anything to them? I once met a young woman who had gone through confirmation class at the age of 25. That's a little bit old. Confirmation is usually done by 9. But she had grown up and she had explored different parts of the church. And for her, going to an Anglican confirmation class was what she needed to be confirmed and to choose this particular expression of Christian worship as her own. In her description to me, she said, I felt like I was getting married to that denomination. I was choosing that to be my church and my place. If any of us are married, you know that there are some wonderful things that come with that, but there are also some things that you weren't quite expecting when you got married and walked down the aisle. But there's a truth to that. If you choose something, you get the benefits and the beauty of it, but also the hard bits, also the things that we're not so proud of. In the Anglican Church, we can do pageantry with the best of them. We can wear amazing robes that match all of the hangings at the front of the church and just look darn spiffy. We can sing grand hymns that lift up your hearts. And our last hymn today is Hifferdal, which will get stuck in your ear for the rest of the week, I guarantee it. We can do these things really well. But it also comes with parish council meetings and vestries where we don't always agree. It's not a perfect situation. And so how does the generation yet to come choose this as their expression of how to love God? And that is actually a question that I don't have an answer to. In this church, we've got some amazing people who care deeply about the generation yet to come, the generation yet unborn. We're looking at a little bit of a baby boom in St. James, where we've got 5 little ones on their way or here under the age of 1, which is an incredible gift and a blessing. But it's also a challenge to us as a community. How do we take the faith that we value and pass it to the next generation? You can't ram it down their throats. You can't proselytize or indoctrinate. We've learned this through generations and generations of trying. What we can do is we can provide opportunities. We can provide a place for anyone to be themselves and to encounter a God of love, a God of self-sacrifice, a God of caring, who can lift up those little ones in a way that none of us can. We can help to provide an environment where they and anyone else can experience a God whose love can change the world, whose hope can transform us all, and whose blessing is poured out freely, without judgment, without reserve. Today, I heard these scripture lessons as a challenge for us to make sure that we are doing our part, to make sure that the faith is accessible and that the faith can be chosen. And so let us continue to work on that. Let us continue to make that a priority so that what it says at the entrance of our church is true, that we can be a place of musical excellence and strong programming for children. I think I'm taking that as my marching orders for what we should be doing in the future. And I'm looking forward to working on this with you to build up a community in love. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Having come to church, having heard the words of Scripture, God's words proclaimed to us, and having reflected with them and wrestled with them what they might mean for us today, let us again confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
I would invite the congregation to be seated or kneel for the prayers of the people.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, anoint your church all over the world with the oil of your Spirit so that we burn brightly, lightening the dark world with your love and truth. Keep our church communities from error and sin, and supply us all, through word and sacrament, with all our souls require. Waken us, Lord,
to understand your love.
Heavenly Father, take the false values of our world and upend them. Take the oppressed and free them. Take the leaders and inspire them. Take the past and redeem it, the present and fill it, the future and guide us in it. Waken us, Lord,
to understand your love.
Heavenly Father, it is in our homes and daily tasks that you train us in loving obedience. We pray for those who have to live and work with us and who are familiar with our habits, gifts, and faults. May we make the most of the opportunities to love, to forgive, to stand back, and to reach out. Waken us, Lord.
To understand your love.
Heavenly Father, as we pray for all who are ill in body, mind, and spirit, surround them with your love and healing, your reassurance and peace. We pray for those who are too weak or exhausted to pray, but simply know they ache for your comfort. We pray especially for Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Ashley. Waken us, Lord.
To understand your love.
Heavenly Father, as real and living for the dead as for those of us walking through time, we commend to your mercy and love those who have died in your faith and friendship. May we all share in the joy of Christ's coming in glory. Waken us, Lord.
To understand your love.
Heavenly Father, all the resources for holiness you lovingly provide, and we thank you for ongoing and unlimited provision. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples and said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your word to us is food indeed. Receive all that we offer you this day, and let your loving kindness be our comfort, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. By water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a holy people in Jesus Christ our Lord. You renew that mystery in bread and wine and nourish us to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the holy people who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given them thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death,
we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things to Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat, whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread.
So from the church we gather from the ends of the earth into your kingdom.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Living God, in the Eucharist, you fill us with new hope. May the power of your love, which we have known in word and sacrament, continue your saving work among us and bring us to the joy that you promise. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, rest on you, this day and always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.